Hi folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com with a short video update. There are some things which are perhaps a little strange happening at the moment, which I think are pointing to some major events ahead, and I just want to quickly cover a couple of those things. Firstly, from the Vatican, Pope Francis instructs Vatican entities to move all funds to Vatican Bank by September the 30th. Pope Francis has ordered that the Holy See and connected entities move all financial assets to the Institute for Works of Religion, known commonly as the Vatican Bank. According to Francis' rescript, financial and liquid assets held in banks other than the IOR must be moved to the Vatican Bank within 30 days of September the 1st, 2022. So basically that means that the Vatican will be taking all its funds out of Swiss banks and putting them back into the Vatican's own bank. One wonders why. Are they trying to protect themselves ahead of a crash that they know is coming? That's speculation, but why would you do that? And then there's this. Pope Francis, world already in Third World War being fought piecemeal. Pope Francis made a comment in reference to Ukraine, but warned that similar conflicts will be fought piecemeal over time. The Pope described current international conflicts as the Third World War. The Pope made the comment during his usual general audience where he acknowledged the anniversary of World War II's dramatic beginnings. The Pope referred to the current era as the Third World War, saying the overarching conflict will most likely play out piecemeal, unlike previous global wars, according to the Vatican media. When I heard this, I immediately thought of a video we published in 2016 about the boy, 16-year-old boy, who saw the tribulation, and in his visions and what he described, he said the first word of war will come from the Catholics. And folks, I just see that we are going through financial turmoil in the world and all sorts of things going on. And I want to reiterate again, as I have done so many times, if you haven't already done so, do what you can to prepare now. Time is getting short. Now, I know a lot of people would say Tucker Carlson is controlled opposition, and that may well be the fact. However, in this case, I want to do something I don't do often, and that's to play a couple of clips from Tucker Carlson regarding the crazy climate change, energy, sustainability situation in Europe, and then a little bit from the USA. So please bear with me if you don't like Tucker Carlson or whatever. Just watch this, because I believe he brings out something in these videos that is important that people grasp. And that is the lie behind this whole sustainability agenda and the unfathomable damage it is doing right now, as I believe they deliberately collapse the system as we know it. And by they, I mean those in power above governments who call the shots.
We are living in one of those moments where so much is happening all at once and information about it all is so tightly controlled that huge history-changing events can occur, and in fact are occurring right now, and nobody seems aware of them. It's pretty unsettling, actually. Here's one example. Europe is descending into poverty. Did you know that? Had someone told you that? So the most advanced continent on the planet, the birthplace of Western civilization, our civilization, is getting much poorer very quickly. It's moving backward at high speed. Just a year ago, Europe was a modern place. For example, the overwhelming majority of Europeans heated their homes with natural gas, as modern people do. In Germany, the continent's richest country, only about 6% of households, most of them rural, heated with cordwood. And you'd expect that, given that, again, Germany is a modern industrialized country with central heating and indoor plumbing and all the other trappings of a society that has moved beyond the medieval period. Last year, only about 6% of Germans used wood to heat their homes, but that has changed dramatically. Demand for firewood in Germany has risen so fast that there is none left to buy. You can't get it. In Poland, families are standing in line for days to buy coal. Not in 1910, right now, tonight. Cars queued up outside coal mines, hoping for fuel. Quote, this is beyond imagination, one 57-year-old Polish man told Reuters. People are sleeping in their cars. I remember the communist times, but it didn't cross my mind that we could return to something even worse. Oh, but it's come. Something even worse has arrived. The French government has announced energy rationing this winter. Just the other day, France had so much energy that it exported it to other countries. It was a net exporter of energy. Now, there won't be enough heat in France for everyone in the country to stay warm. In the UK, 70% of restaurants are preparing to close, to go under. Why? Because when winter comes, they won't be able to afford to keep the heat and lights on, et cetera, et cetera. This is happening across Europe in every country. So the question is, why is it happening? And the answer is extremely simple. There is an energy shortage in Europe. Cheap energy is essential. It is the key to everything that a normal society strives for. Prosperity, safety, a longer life expectancy for its citizens, everything depends on cheap energy, but Europe no longer has it. And as a result, things are falling apart very quickly. Energy costs in Europe are expected to increase by hundreds of percent in coming months. Germany's year-ahead price of electricity, that's the benchmark for all of Europe, it's measured in euros per megawatt hour, that price just exceeded 1,000 euros for the first time in history. For perspective, just a week ago, last Monday, the cost was about 700 euros per megawatt hour, and that was a record. In other words, the price rise is approaching 50% in a single week. In France, electricity went up 25% in one day. That was last Friday. Imagine that happening to you. If you don't have cheap natural gas, you can't run the continent. Now, if you've got a graduate degree and live in a city in the United States, you may be shocked to learn this. You may never have heard this before. You may have believed that fossil fuels were on their way out any day now. And you thought that because the Davos people and our own leaders assured us of that for decades. They told us that green energy was the future, and the future is here. It's here. As recently as last month, the World Economic Forum claimed that Europe could save, quote, $1 trillion in fossil fuel costs by switching to renewables. But it turns out, and this may not shock you, they had no clue what they were talking about. They knew nothing about the subject they talked about endlessly. Green energy cannot replace fossil fuels. Not now, not anytime soon. So-called green energy is not close, is nowhere near replacing gas and oil and coal. It's measurable. We could have known this. Anyone with eighth grade math skills could have figured out in about 10 minutes that we cannot replace fossil fuels with renewables or green energy. And of course, they must have known that. When they told you otherwise, it was just posturing. It was childish and destructive fantasy talk that apparently fooled millions of their citizens and millions of ours. The Green New Deal means what it always meant. It means poverty. And the people pushing the Green New Deal must have known that all along. They don't actually believe climate change is an imminent threat. If they actually believe climate change was an imminent threat, an existential emergency, the first thing they would have done, the very first, would be to ban private jets. Oh, but no. To this day, Al Gore still flies on private jets. Barack Obama owns tens of millions of dollars of beachfront property. He knows the oceans aren't rising. Come on. So they're all in on it. It's a scam, but they don't care because they know they personally will escape the consequences of their own policies. So when the French president announces that his people are facing the end of abundance, he's not talking about himself. He's not facing the end of abundance. None of them are. Macron and all of them understand they will always be rich and always be protected. They know that for certain. What's changed, what's so very interesting, is that suddenly everyone else who's been paying attention can see that they were lying. They are frauds, and the entire population of Europe now knows that. The Europeans have discovered that the real threat to human civilization is not global warming. It never was global warming. The real threat to people is global cooling, otherwise known as winter. Far more people freeze to death every year than die of heat. In 2019, for example, four times as many people died of cold as of heat. That's according to the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. So when temperatures in Europe begin to drop a few months from now, this is a huge problem, and that will be obvious to everyone. It's not global warming, it's global cooling. That's what's going to kill your grandmother. And when everyone understands that perfectly well, a lot of things are going to happen. The status quo will crumble. Factories will close. Unemployment will rise. disposable income will disappear. So it is impossible to overstate the downstream effects on the world of an energy crisis. Everything changes. How are the central banks responding to this? Not well. They seem to be making things worse on purpose. You know, in the United States, we're told not to notice what the Fed does because the Fed is now diverse and therefore great. Amazing piece in the AP just the other day announcing that, quote, leadership of the Federal Reserve has become its most diverse ever. There are more female, black, and gay officials contributing to the central bank's interest rate decisions than at any time in its 109-year history. Okay. In other words, relax. We've got affirmative action. Everything's fine. Great. But somehow it doesn't seem to be working. The same central banks that intentionally caused inflation, and they did, those same central banks are now hiking rates to destroy demand. The problem is, this isn't a demand problem. This is a supply problem, and it stems primarily from the war in Ukraine. Because of that war, the West does not have enough energy to continue its economy or its society. Europe responded to that war by imposing sanctions that they knew would inevitably cause energy shortages. They knew it when they did it. Here's the president of the European Commission back in May.
And let's be clear, it will not be easy, because some member states are strongly dependent on Russian oil, but we simply have to do it. So today we will propose to ban all Russian oil from Europe.
With regard to food shortages, yes, we did talk about food shortages. And it's going to be real. The price of these sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and our country as well.
Oh, so we're all going to have to buckle down for freedom. We have to shovel billions to Ukrainian oligarchs who clearly hate the United States because it's the right thing to do. We need to hurt Russia because it's our moral duty. So did these sanctions actually hurt Russia? They caused food and energy shortages throughout the West. No, they didn't hurt Russia. Russia today has more than enough energy, more energy that it can use or sell. In fact, Russia has so much excess natural gas that it's simply setting it on fire. That's right, flaring it, as they say. A Russian plant near the border with Finland is burning $10 million worth of natural gas every day. This seems like a big story. So how's the media covering this? Well, here's the BBC. Quote, scientists are concerned about the large volumes of carbon dioxide and soot it is creating, which could exacerbate the melting of Arctic ice. Really? That's your concern? More global warming? When the immediate effect is to make it impossible for people to Europe to stay warm. The UK has committed $2.8 billion to Ukraine in a country where 70% of pubs may close because they can't afford electricity. This is a government that's preparing for power outages in the middle of winter. As The Guardian reported, under the government's last reasonable worst-case scenario, officials believe the UK could experience blackouts for several days in January if cold weather combines with gas shortages to leave the country short of power. Well, of course cold weather will combine with gas shortages because that's when people use gas, when the weather is cold. Wake up, geniuses. This is not a transformation that is taking place voluntarily, as it would in a democracy where people get to govern themselves and choose the way they live. No, this is being imposed by a small number of people on top, again, the revolution aimed downward, as always. A bank in Australia has announced it will be ending loans for gas vehicles. You just can't buy one. You can't finance it. The EU Parliament has just voted to support a ban on the sale of new gasoline and diesel cars beginning in 2035 in all of Europe. Now, Europe, as we told you last night, is a place where they're turning off traffic lights because they don't have enough energy to keep them on. So how is this going to work? Well, the fact it's happening at all is amazing. Take three steps back. Banning gasoline engines, which we have had for more than 100 years, which have completely defined modern society, and that if you're a normal person in this country and don't use the subway from the Upper West Side to Midtown every day, but actually drive like the overwhelming majority of Americans, this is the biggest change in your lifetime. Have you been consulted on it? Has there been a debate about it? No. All you hear is you must do this because it's good for the environment. But that's a lie. It's measurably a lie. Electronic vehicles are terrible for the environment. Roger McGrath took the time to spell it out recently in Chronicles magazine. As he noted, supplying the materials necessary for the battery of an electric car alone, just the battery, requires, and we're quoting, processing using fossil fuels, of course, of at least 50 tons of ores. Ooh, it takes a lot of energy to process ore. A single battery for an electric car needs at least, quote, 30 pounds of lithium, 60 pounds of cobalt, 130 pounds of nickel, 90 pounds of copper, 190 pounds of graphite, and roughly 500 pounds of steel, aluminum, magnesium, plastic, and other materials, end quote. All of which are derived from mining. Oh, where's that mining going to take place? Well, in third world countries with no environmental regulations whatsoever. How is this good for the environment? Speak slowly so we can understand. And yet in California, under Gavin Newsom's new order, every vehicle would require those materials. Here's the problem. We don't have that much lithium or cobalt in the United States. So where are those elements going to come from, which are required for electric vehicles? Oh, well, lithium mines in China. Did you know the answer to that already? Probably did. And the Congo. Let's go exploit Africa so we can feel virtuous. As the New York Times reported last year, and we're quoting, production of raw materials like lithium, cobalt, and nickel that are essential to electronic vehicle technologies are often ruinous to land, water, wildlife, and people, end quote. And by the way, land, water, wildlife, and people are exactly the four things that the environmental lobby has no interest at all in. They don't care about the land, they don't care about the water, they don't care about the wildlife, and they don't care about the people. It's not about that at all. It's a religion. It's about making them feel like good people and increasing their control over you, period. And by the way, none of this even addresses the national security implications of this. Just as with solar panels and wind turbines, the materials required for electric vehicle batteries come from, and you know the answer, China. China processes 40% of the world's raw lithium. China's market share for lithium-ion batteries is about 80%. That's according to Bloomberg. And even if we somehow avoid that problem by mining lithium volcanoes in, say, Nevada and polluting the environment there, then what? Well, then you have hundreds of millions of Americans dependent upon cars that the government can turn off in a second that are, by the way, running software that tracks your every movement. Now, in a high-trust society where everyone thinks the government's on their side, a society that hasn't just hired 87,000 armed IRS agents to crush small business and anyone doesn't vote for them, in a society like that, like maybe Sweden 30 years ago, that'd be totally fine because we trust that they're on our side. But in a country in which the President of the United States is giving a speech 2 days from now declaring half the population a criminal element, probably not a good idea to turn your vehicle over to those people. This is the vehicular equivalent of digital currency. Electronic vehicles are a disaster for the energy grid, a disaster for the environment, and a disaster for your personal autonomy. If this happens, it will represent the single biggest change in the way you and your family live in generations.
So, folks, those are some very sobering things that are brought out there. And as I've mentioned so many times, do what you can to prepare. Don't leave it. Do what you can now. That's it for this video. Please subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com. And also remember, we run 100% by donations, and you can donate at our website if you want. And the music used, I've written, played, and recorded. God bless, and hopefully we'll be back with another video in a few days' time.